Up next, we have a storyteller, another new one to our stage. This is the aforementioned gentleman from North Carolina and creative team member Audrey Fields' father. Please welcome Brent Fields.
Cats are fun. I like cats. We have cats. My wife and I, we have cats, and they're fine. You know, you can pet them. They're furry. They purr sometimes. And as pets go, they're fine. I've done a lot of reading about cats. I've read dozens of paragraphs. And and the thing about cats is that they're scientific research is proven they're the most indifferent animals in the animal kingdom. And the only reason they tolerate human beings is for food, of course, water, right? Cozy place to sleep, and a disgusting place to defecate. And that pretty much summarizes cats. But they're fine. Cats are fine. If you're going to have a pet, have a cat. Well, now my wife, Sydney, she grew up, she loves animals. She's a sweet person and has a big heart. And when we met and were dating, she had a cat. And so I figured if she was going to marry me, I needed to make some adjustments emotionally and psychologically about cats. So what I did is it was like iron will. Is I forced myself to understand cats and to tolerate them, and they became fine as far as I'm concerned. So early on in our marriage, I had gone back to graduate school and was studying, of all things, counseling and psychology and stuff like that, and it did me a world of good. But so we didn't have a lot of money, and the budget was skinny, and we were renting an old wooden house in a old neighborhood with slender old streets, and right across a street from where we live, there was a really beautiful Episcopal church, St. somebody of somewhere, and around the Episcopal church there were apartment buildings, and so that's the neighborhood we lived in. It was an old neighborhood, and big church, and old apartment buildings, and so anyway, as I mentioned, we had a kind of a skinny budget. Because I wasn't working. I was becoming erudite, and so when we would go out on the town on a date, we had to manage our monies, and so we would rifle through the cushions and get enough, and so I remember one night in particular we went out and we had a great time. We had two happy meals, and then. After that, we would go to this gourmet grocery store, and we would just walk around holding hands and looking at the food we couldn't afford, and it was great fun. And we would do that, and then we would drive home, and it's night. And back then, in olden times, it was darker at night than it is now, and so we're driving home. And to our house, and at that time I had it was a slick car. It was a 1978 midnight blue Volvo 240 DL station wagon, and that thing had several cylinders, and it was a car so we're driving home. And we're about a block away from our house, and there's the Episcopal Church, St. somebody from somewhere, right there. And then the apartment buildings are around here. And on these old streets, but there's cars parked all over the place, so you're driving, you know, you want to keep it, you know. So I'm driving careful, and wouldn't you know it, this black and white cat darts out in front of the car. I slam on the brakes like Mario Andretti, and unfortunately, I heard that thumpity-thump-thump thump under my 1978 240 DL Volvo station wagon. The whole length of the thing, it's as long as this building. So anyway, I slam on the brakes quick as you could be. Sydney, cat, animal lover, she shrieks. I muttered a few things that Lord Sauron wouldn't say. And I hop out of the car, and I look around, I look under the car. I mean, it's pitch black. It's darker than it is out there. I mean, it was like, you know, moon or something. Anyway, I don't see a cat. So anyway, I take my shaken wife home. She shook up. I come back with a flashlight, and so I'm looking around bushes, cars, wherever I can, you know, wherever a cat might go, and I didn't see a thing. So I concluded two things. One of two things that happened: that this cat had somehow or other banged and bruised, survived this near death, had scampered off, okay, and was licking his wounds, grateful to have nine lives because he's used up several of them. The second thing that could happen was that this cat, by a rush of adrenaline, had scampered off and was, as they say in the vernacular, it was dawning. And in other words, it was used up the nine. That was the dawning thing. I guess y'all don't listen to Steely Dan. Anyway, so I figured it was probably the second one. And, you know, and I felt, you know, I remember right now as I'm standing here, I felt bad. I mean, I felt about bad. You know, cats are fine. I felt bad about running over it. But to quote Kurt Vonnegut, well, and so it goes. And so it went. Well, the following day, I get in my Volvo, and I'm heading over to the university, and I pass by the Episcopal Church, and I look over on the beautiful stone steps going up to the main door, going to the sanctuary, and I see this man, and he's in coveralls, and I think he's a gardener, because he has a garden type of shovel with him, and I see him shoveling something up off the steps. And so I slow down. I'm curious. I'm a student. I'm a student of human behavior. And what's this man with a shovel doing? Well, so he's shoveling up, and it appears to be an animal. And so I slow down a little bit, and I peer over there, and well, it's sort of draped over the shovel. If he'd have had a snow shovel, it'd have been wider girth, but he had a gardening shovel, and so I could see some black and white fur kind of dangling over the, kind of draped, if you will, over the shovel, and I'm looking, back then I had good eyesight, so I'm looking right at that thing, and I said, well, I believe that's a cat, and I thought, that looks a lot like the cat I ran over last night, And I had deduced that that cat was dead, because one thing, as I said, I've read about cats, and one thing they do not like is to be shoveled up, particularly when they're in a position of repose. And so, using deductive reasoning, because I was in graduate school and I studied behavior of people, I thought it through, and I said, that damn cat's dead. And that cat looks a whole lot like the one I ran over. Well, a few days later, I was at this store in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's called Video Review. Now, looking around the audience here, I can tell some of y'all came into adulthood in this millennium. So at Video Review, you would go and you would rent this thing. It was called a VHS tape. I know you've never heard of it. 4 inches wide, 1 inch deep, and 7 3/8 inches wide. It was remarkable. And inside there, there are two spools, and there's a brown tape that would spin. And somehow or other, through the magic of technology, they would superimpose on that tape a movie. And you would rent that thing, take it home, go to your VHS tape machine, stick it in there, and voila, a movie of your choosing would show up on your television set in your den. Those were the 90s. It was great. So anyway, I'm at Video Review, and I'm renting for my wife, Sydney, and I'm renting a movie for us to watch that night and enjoy. It was like $2, and you get to rent them for 3 nights. So anyway, I'm in there, and this couple I know, Ken and Amy, they tap me on the shoulder, and I turn around, hey, it's Ken and Amy. And it was so delightful. There we are chit-chatting. You know, it's one of those serendipitous moments that happens in a person's life, you know, where something just lovely like that sort of just sprinkles. And it, you know, it gladdens the heart, puts a smile on the face, right? We've all had those periodically, willy-nilly, here and there. And so we're just chit-chatting away. We're talking, having a great time. And then all of a sudden, Amy goes this. She goes, you and Sydney, y'all live on Simpson Street, right? I said, yeah, Simpson Street and Fisher Park. I said, you live near the Episcopal Church. I said, yeah, yeah, we live near the Episcopal Church. Saint, you know, somebody from somewhere. And she said, you know, my sister lives over there. She lives in one of the apartments over there. Well, I can tell you something about me. I have this intuition about me. It comes from studying human behavior. But it's more like Spider-Man sense. I can feel it tingling. And something told me, be very wary of this conversation. So anyway, so Amy continues. My sister called me last night. She was torn up. She's devastated, crying, weeping, gnashing of teeth, the whole thing. I said, oh, my goodness, what had your sister so upset? She said, well, a couple nights ago, her cat left her apartment and hasn't returned. And she's devastated. She's just absolutely torn up. Now, I mentioned earlier, I have intuition about things. And I knew right then and there, I said, this conversation is going nowhere but sideways. And I said to myself, thinking to myself, I said, you need to do one of these numbers. Oh, look at the time. I got it. But somehow or other, I said, and I can't believe I said it, what does your cat look like? Now, I never claimed to be the sharpest tool in the shed or the brightest bulb in the hall. I never thought I would make honor society or honor in high school. And in third grade, we had a spelling bee, and I knew I wouldn't get past like the second or third round. But I never thought I'd do something as stupid as ask that question. What is your cat? What does her cat look like? I mean, I knew full well I had opened Pandora's box for some crazy reason, thinking there was going to be some chocolate caramels in there, but there was devastation. Anywho, she says, well, my sister's cat, Joey is his name. He's a black and white cat, about medium size, and it's been a couple days since he's gone, and Amy's looking at me with these eyes like maybe I could be helpful and tell her something that would, I don't know, alleviate something or other. And anyway, and so she said, and she lives by herself, and Joey's just like her best friend. You know, there are those times in life where you have that crisis of conscience, where you have to, you know, you got to do the right thing, irrespective of the cost. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's one of those times where you got to, as we say near where I live, you got to man up. You got to, you know, you got to do the right thing. You got to be the adult, right? Because I was learning this stuff and as I was studying about psychology and counseling and those sorts of things. And I thought, you know, there are times when you got to draw that line in the sand. There's that hill you need to defend, right? Uh-huh, yeah. I mean, you got to gear up. You got to do the right thing. You got to stare the enemy in the eye where they're ramming bamboo shoots up your fingernails and say, "You're not getting a word out of me, you bastard." And I mean, you got to be, I mean, you know, you got to demonstrate some courage and integrity and do the right thing. It's like you sit down with that poor child and you say, "I'm sorry, but Papa ain't coming home." I mean, you got to be truthful. So anyway, I looked at Amy and I said, "Well, Amy, I know a fair amount about cats, particularly tomcats. I said, very often, they'll just wander off, just kind of willy-nilly, for no reason at all. And they'll be gone for a couple of days, and they'll come back. And I have no doubt that this cat, what was the cat's name? Joey. That was a rhetorical kind of thing. That Joey will return home. But I tell you what, since you've described the cat, if I see it, I know who to call. And so with that, I grabbed out of Africa, Meryl Streep, rented it, and it went home. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, cretin. You're thinking, low down, sorry, cowardly bum. I know that's what you're thinking. I mean, I thought that for a minute, too, because I had simultaneously... I had simultaneously committed the sin of omission and commission at the same time. And so you'd think that maybe I'd go home and read The Red Band of Courage and figure out how to redeem myself. And I mean, what was I to do with this perjury? Well, I didn't do much with it at all. The fact of the matter is, I kind of got over it pretty quickly because as I had studied counseling and psychology, I knew about defense mechanisms, and rationalization became very handy at the time. Because if you recall, it was very dark that night. I mean, particularly so dark. I don't know, perhaps there had been some sort of reverse eclipse or something. And black and white cats, there are lots of them out there. For all I know, that could have been a raccoon that scooted out in front of my 1978 Volvo 240 DL station wagon. But anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it unless I need to change it up.